Lord, you have taken so much that we have offered you and transformed it into your glory, that we make this offering this morning, that it too may be transfigured for the transformation of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of preparation is hymn number 349, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Let us go up the mountain. Let us go to the place where the land meets the sky, where the earth touches the heavens, to the place of meeting, to the place of mist, to the place of voices and conversations, to the place of listening. And we give you thanks. Amen.
If everybody would now like to join in the Old Testament reading, it's from the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verses 29 through 35. And in your pew Bible, that's in the Old Testament, page 81. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him.
And we move from that image of the shining face of Moses to the disciples with Jesus up on the mountaintop. It is in Luke chapter something. Chapter 9. And I believe in the bulletin, it even tells you what page you can turn to if you would wish to follow along. And it begins with now about 8 days after these sayings. I want you to know that this is the time that Jesus had spoken to the crowd at the feeding of the 5,000. He had foretold his death and resurrection. So he had done a whole lot of teaching. And then we begin with today's reading. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, But since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he had said. And while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. And just then a man from the crowd shouted, Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child. And suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. And Jesus answered, You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. And while he was coming, the demons dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Transfiguration Sunday is always that odd Sunday that happens just before Lent, that we're not quite certain what is really going on up there on the mountain. We're not certain why Peter, James, and John are called to come up there and witness to this experience that Jesus has up in that mountain to pray. But he brings these three disciples with him. He brings them with him because he has to prepare them. He has to undergird their ministry with the reality of who he is. He has to be transfigured before them so that when he makes it, that journey into Jerusalem, gets hung on the cross, and gets placed in the tomb and is resurrected, they have this anchor of this mountaintop experience to know who is Jesus Christ, their Lord. But in the midst of it, they're a bit confused and befuddled. Now, hasn't that ever happened to you, to be confused and befuddled in the midst of an experience? Not know why you're going through this, not know what is happening in your life. And God, if you would just explain yourself, things would get better. And then 2 months, 6 months down the road, and things begin to happen in a different manner, you turn around and you look at that event and you go, I know what happened. I know why God placed me in that moment, in that place, at that time. It is all clear to me now about the will of God. Peter, James, and John have that moment for them in the second chapter of Acts, when the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they began to speak about the message, the good news, the message of the gospel. But I also thought very hard about what does this mean in terms of who Jesus is for you and for me and for the world. And I thought about that moment of transfiguration when the law, Moses, Elijah, the prophets are seen with Jesus in the middle. That merging of law and prophet to be the promise that God made fulfilled. What does that mean? How does that play out in salvation history? Well, it plays out beginning in Genesis. Remember in Genesis when God had that transfiguration of nothing into creation, into the universe. God transfigured that which had no existence into everything. And then God, as we listen to that rhythm of day and night, the first, the second, the fourth, the fifth days, as creation begins to unfold, and we hear that God calls it good and very good, and then God creates humankind to tend, to care for this creation. So the great master gardener, who is God, creates also those who will assist him in the care and the tender of his creation. But then we hear the story of Adam and Eve. And in Adam and Eve, do you ever think about that time that they walked in the garden with God as kind of a transfiguration, glowing moment? They must have been glowing as much as Moses was glowing when he was in God's presence. They must have been glowing all over. And they didn't even know they were glowing, because that was just their natural state, because their natural state was always in the presence of God. And then we know what they did. They sinned and got removed from God's presence. Then we fast forward. I'm making you go pretty fast here. But we fast forward to another mountaintop experience with Peter, James, and John there seeing Jesus transfigured, glowing. And I will bet that Peter, James, and John were glowing and they didn't even know it. They were like, have you ever noticed how the moon glows? But it doesn't have any light of its own, does it? It glows because it reflects the light of the sun. And there they were with this big, dazzling display. They had to have glowing faces and not even know it. But as this creation or mountaintop experience that they were having went on for a day, they knew, Jesus knew, they would have to go down to the world. So just as God gave Adam and Eve the care and the tender of the earth, that Adam was to make his life over the breaking up of the ground and the hoeing and the growing of his food, and that it would be hard to do, Peter, James, and John have a whole new garden that they have to go down to. And we hear about that garden in that second half of the passage. We hear about that garden that a day later they came down. And what's waiting for them? The crowd. The crowd is waiting for them, waiting for Jesus so that they can be healed, because they have in their midst one that was not. And so Jesus heals him. But again, what do Peter, James, and John, the disciples that follow Jesus, learn from this moment? They learn that the mountaintop experience is where you are empowered by God, where the master gardener infuses you with light and love and the Holy Spirit. But the mountaintop experience is the experience that empowers you to go out into the fields. And in the fields are people who are broken, who are hurt, who are ashamed. We talked earlier at 8:30 about mental illness and the cost that has on the family, not just on the one who is mentally ill, but on the family and the ones who love around them. And here we had a young man who had a demon that was causing him to foam at the mouth, who was causing him to look like one that we would call mentally ill. And Jesus brought healing into that life. Peter, James, and John were taught that they have to go to those really hard places and be the ones that bring the seeds of hope. Be the ones that bring the seeds of peace. Be the ones that break open that ground that has been all crusty and torn up so that it can be given the light of God in the midst of it. Brothers and sisters, we're about to receive Holy Communion. We're about to pray the prayer of great thanksgiving that begins with that opening prayer of how God created the heaven and earth out of love, and that God loved us and loved the world so much that he gave us prophets and he gave us priests. He gave us everything to continually draw back to him. We could say he gave us gardeners and master gardeners that could deal with our own hardened hearts, that could deal with the hardened hearts of the world. And then we're going to hear the story of Jesus and how he had this feast of grain and this feast of grape, and how it is a feast that helps us to remember the gift of his life for us. In the next period that we call Lent, we're going to be looking at what does it mean to be sitting at the feet of the Master Gardener? What does it mean to have God come in God's garden and break up that really, really rough soil? What does it mean for God to till our soil? What seeds does God need to plant in our lives? And then how do we tend this garden that God gave us? If we think about each of us, I was looking out and I thought, oh, look, these are the plants growing in the furrows, and the pews are making great furrows here. But yeah, I'm sorry, that's just where the image went for me. You just got a view of my head. But each of us, each person is that gift, that seedling that is growing, whether they're young or whether they're not so young. So what does it mean to tend to this garden? And then what is the harvest that God is calling for us to cull out of this? The harvest is peace. The harvest isn't a return to Eden, but it is this earth as a new creation. This earth as God intends it to be in Revelation, when the heavens break open and there is a new heaven and a new earth. And then on Passion Sunday, the reality at the end of the harvest and the end of the sharing of the food, we have to turn that soil under. That sometimes we take living things and bring them under the earth to create something new and rich, and it enriches our soil and our lives. It's going to be a journey that begins when we recognize who Jesus is on the Mount, when we see him transfigured, and then when we follow him down into the garden, into the land he has called us to garden. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So in the bulletins, I think I said something like, you're going to have to follow along. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to turn to page 12 in your hymnals. And I want to remind you that this is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord. It is to be made ready for those who love him, who want to love him more. So come, you who have much faith, and you who have little, you who have been here often, and you who have not been for a long time, you who have tried to follow, and you who have failed, come. Not because it is I who invite you, but the Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. So on page 12, let us together confess our sins. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. And we have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And as we move to the Great Thanksgiving, you'll see sometimes there's a little asterisk. I may be saying different words, but I will come in with the familiar words where you can then join in your response. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, God of all times and all places, God of the infinite and infinitesimal. In the blazing splendor of your glory, you called forth light from darkness, day from night, land from oceans, and life in all its dazzling array from lifeless matter. Among the living you made and called humankind, imprinting upon us your image, to be the bearers of your glory in the world. Though we failed to shine and hid your image within us, you continued to call us into fellowship with you and to fulfill your mission for us through prophets, scriptures, priests, and a people you redeemed for yourself. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. In him we see the fullness of your glory revealed in human form. Born into poverty, he fulfilled his mother's song, that you would fill the hungry with good things and send the rich empty away. Declaring the nearness of your kingdom, he forgave sinners, cast out demons, raised the dead, restored the blind and lame, visited the sick, the prisoners, and the needy, and gathered disciples to continue to declare the good news in word and deed, transfiguring the world in the power of your Holy Spirit. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we declare the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. The table has been set and the invitation has been given. I wanted to let you know that if you're not certain you want to come forward and receive, you can always come forward and receive a blessing. And if you cannot come forward and need us to bring the elements to you, Tim and I will gladly do that. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our sending hymn is 395. And it has a title. Take Time to Be Holy. Shall we stand? Just a reminder that the youth are meeting at 4 o'clock at Spring Valley. And on Tuesday night, we are feasting here at 6 o'clock. If you come earlier and you're hungry, we'll find a way to feed you. And then at Wednesday at noon, we will gather around the worship space and have the imposition of ashes for our Ash Wednesday service. And trustees meet that night at 7. All other things as they normally go. So, serve your God with passion and something else. Patience, be deliberate in enacting your faith, be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit's power, and may peace be your way in the world. Go out to love and serve the world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.